Thank you, Mr. Rose. So as the Passover season is upon us, and it is just a little more than 2 weeks away, our spiritual preparations are probably also very well underway. We're probably a bit more focused subject-wise on our study, and our prayers may reflect a little bit more of an introspective tone at this time. Also, we might be preparing to fast, or we might have already fasted, or we might have already fasted and we're prepared to fast again. I don't know, it's up to you. But as Passover draws close, these are things we're thinking about. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about fasting, but I just want everybody to understand, this is not a sermon on fasting. I have confidence in my ability to give you a comprehensive sermon on fasting, but this is not the time or place for that. But what I would like to do is to examine an aspect of fasting, one facet, really, of that physical fast, which is particularly, I think, important in this season, that maybe we don't think about as much because, you know, it's just not something maybe we want to think about. It may add some additional depth to your Passover preparation and to how we may approach fasting. That facet, if you will, is that when fasting, we can acknowledge being hungry. You can acknowledge being hungry. Now, without context, that's going to sound a little odd and maybe not make much sense. So let me give you some context about what I'm talking about. I'm a second-generation Christian. I grew up in the church. My parents were already attending when I was born. And the only time that I remember fasting as a kid was on the Day of Atonement. And it wasn't the most amazing experience as a child. I think the first time I successfully was able to fast, I pretty much passed out right before the end of the day. The impression I had, though, because of this, was that fasting was something you kind of had to be stoic about, and just you kind of had to endure it. People didn't talk about fasting. They didn't talk about being hungry while they were fasting. So the impression I had was, just don't think about the hunger. Push it away from your mind. Just shoulder on through. And to say something as simple as, I'm hungry, made me fear that I was going to be perceived as complaining, or even weak, or even worse, lacking in faith, because I admitted that I was hungry while fasting. No one ever said this to me, okay? This is not someone anybody told me, don't you dare ever admit you're hungry while you're fasting. That never happened. But this is the impression I got as a Christian growing up, being raised in the church. Later, as I got older, you know, maybe it wasn't so severe. And as an adult, you know, the experience of fasting is a little less traumatic. I would say it's still not an entirely pleasant experience, but it's easier to handle. And for the longest time, though, as an adult, I did still kind of have this subconscious feeling that the correct way to deal with the hunger aspect of the fast was to shut it out. I could distract myself from hunger. I could keep myself busy, and I could focus past it just to get through it. And again, as if being hungry while fasting was just a silent affliction of my soul and something I had to endure. But was that really it? It's only, I think, recently that I have been looking at fasting a little bit differently, specifically at the facet of the physical hunger. Instead of trying to ignore the hunger and shove it out of my mind, or just fill my mind with thoughts other than thinking about being hungry, I think it's okay to acknowledge that I was hungry. It's not weakness. It's an understanding that my body is telling me that it wants something, it wants to do something. And sure, while anybody can develop remarkable mental discipline and they can fast for days, people do that who aren't in the church, but we have an opportunity when that hunger comes around to lean into the strength of the Spirit that's made available to us and develop a deeper discipline. I want to look at the biblical account that's generally referred to as the three temptations of Christ. A lot of focus is made in this section on the elements of the temptations themselves, but I want to look at what happens just before Satan tempts Christ. So if you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 4, I just want to read the first couple of verses of Matthew chapter 4 to start. There's a lot in the Bible that where they say something and there's a lot left unsaid, and sometimes it's kind of interesting to look at what might have been left unsaid. But in Matthew chapter 4, and starting in verse 1, it reads, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and nights, afterwards, he was hungry." And that is an understatement if I've ever heard one. That being said, you look at this passage and you realize it doesn't mention anyone being there with him in the wilderness. In Christ's interaction with the devil afterwards, it's even mentioned that you know, he's whisked from there to the holy city, he's taken up into a high mountain. There's no mention of anyone coming along with him. You know, he hadn't called any of his disciples yet. He had no attendants. He didn't have any Sherpas. He didn't have a baggage train. He didn't have a retinue. It was just him. So how then does this account of Matthew know that Christ was hungry? Have you ever thought about that? This account of what happened was undoubtedly then shared by Christ. He told his disciples, this is what happened. And if you look at the identical account, or the parallel account that's in Luke 4, it's almost identical, almost word for word. Probably because since it was recounted to him, to the disciples, there's no opportunity for variation because of personal perspective or individual recollection of events. And so because it was recounted to his disciples in that telling, Jesus Christ said, "I was hungry." He acknowledged being hungry at the end of these 40 days and 40 nights. Following that, then if we want to look at verse 3, we read, "And now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" So yes, Christ was hungry. But he had the focus and he had the strength of the Spirit to not give in to that temptation. And beyond that, I would even venture to say, I doubt Christ even entertained the idea of that temptation. He was in perfect control of himself. His nourishment for the time was the mission he was about to embark on. Because if you read beyond verses, this first section of chapter 4, this is when he starts his ministry and he starts to call the disciples. Christ acknowledged his hunger, and it was there, and it was okay to acknowledge it because he didn't let it distract him. And I think that's a great example that we can use in our own fasting. We can acknowledge that that hunger is there, that that physical need is in our bodies. And it's an opportunity to practice exerting our own discipline and focus and having the strength of the Spirit to help us. It's there, but it's not distracting us. Again, this is something that I've come to feel because of my own perspective having grown up. I'm not saying that we need to torture ourselves, though, with the thoughts of what our next meal is going to be like. I'm not saying we have to excessively dwell on that hunger. We're not scourging ourselves out of some misplaced sense of, you know, suffering leads to spiritual purification. But we can acknowledge that we are physical, and that while the physical may be weak, we have access to strength that gives us the ability to overcome that weakness. The hunger is there, and we shouldn't try to pretend otherwise. It's an act, acknowledging that hunger, that lends the lesson of bringing our bodies under subjugation. It's mind over body. Now, having worked our way through all of that discussion, let's consider fasting as part of the pre-Pass, specifically as part of a pre-Passover preparation. There's a lot of self-examining going on right now. Many of us are looking internally. We're introspecting. We're assessing where we stand spiritually. And if we want to truly succeed, to really dig into where we have opportunities, and yes, they are opportunities to overcome and grow, we have to be very, very honest with ourselves. We can acknowledge where we are struggling, where we're lacking, or even where we're still clinging to the old man or the old us. We have to have that honesty with ourselves if we're going to move forward. Like acknowledging the hunger is there while fasting, it's okay to admit that there are things in our lives that we need to work on, that we need to change and overcome, as long as we actually take the steps then to do something about it. I'm not saying we have to publicly confess our shortcomings to each other, but we can openly bring them before God and have and seek that spiritual strength that we need to move forward, to grow, and to overcome. Like mind over body, this is spirit over flesh. Now, I hope this message doesn't result in a mad dash for the snack line after services. I just want to reassure everybody, I checked it out. There's plenty of snacks. Everything's fine. I even brought a few extras just in case, because I knew what my message was going to be about. But I think we're safe today. But more seriously, to wrap this up, as I said, you know, this is the season that we're fasting is something we're doing or we're planning to do or maybe have done it and still are going to do it again. And we're going to be hungry when we do it. And that's okay. It's okay to be honest and acknowledge that hunger is there, but not let it distract ourselves from the focus that we need. And we can draw a helpful parallel to the honesty we need to have when we're examining our spiritual growth and talking to God about it. Like I said, mind over body, but then spirit over flesh. Our physical fast, it may be short, and it's okay to acknowledge that hunger as part of the process and part of that experience. It can help be used to sharpen our focus as we prepare ourselves for the holy days, which are coming again very soon.